Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, January 5th, 2017. Nope, it's 18. John Martellaro, you would be so happy if you were here right now. Also, I want to point out that's the first time I've messed up the year at all since 2018 started. Also, in my defense, I really don't have to write checks anymore. But hey, as long as it's 2018 and I seem to have figured that out now. Kelly Gaumont, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I know I sound like I'm laughing, but mostly I'm sad that your run was 4 days.
Well, I'm kind of surprised it went that long.
And that's true.
And you know, and I could have just stopped the show and started the recording over and no one would have known, but that's okay. I'm happy sharing my little screw ups like that. It makes me appear more human.
Yeah.
Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Awesome. And I'm glad both of you are here. And we might as well just hop into topics. And let's start with Jimmy Iovine, because he's in the news. So Jimmy Iovine, he's the co-founder of Beats with Dr. Dre. And of course, Apple bought Beats a few years ago. And that brought Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre in-house for Apple. And Jimmy's actually been huge in the music production world for a very long time. So he brought those connections and those skills to Apple and has been instrumental in helping Apple Music find its place in the streaming music market and to make sure that there's really good content available on Apple Music. So
now, before we get too far down this road, just for people who aren't aware who he is, he started out in the 70s, I think. It was either the late 60s or the early 70s, and he started out as a recording engineer. So he did like studio work with a lot of people you may have heard of, like John Lennon and Bruce Springsteen, and he did stuff with U2 for Rattle and Hum. And he, I think at one point he worked with like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. So like that sounds like a wide variety of stuff, but he also was the person who signed Tupac Shakur to Interscope Records back in the day. So he's a guy who has been in music forever and is really interested in all kinds of music, and much like, Clive Davis before him, he's more interested in whether or not it's good or whether or not the artist is interesting than, oh, I don't do country music or I only do rock music or anything like that. Like, he's really a guy who is very interested in all kinds of music for music's sake, which is pretty great and makes him an interesting guy, which is part of why I personally was so interested in finding out what his deal was with Apple when Beats got purchased.
Yes. And yeah. And so he's been a very big part of Apple Music, but that may be changing. So there's insider sources that have been saying that he's planning on leaving Apple in August. And so that would coincide with when the stocks that he was given when he became part of Apple, those will be vested. So at that point, he can leave if he wants. And it sounds like from these insider sources, that's what he plans to do. And if that's the case, then Apple will be losing someone that has been a big part of Apple Music's success. But that doesn't mean that Apple Music will suddenly fail.
Right.
And what I find interesting about this, assuming this is true, is that Jimmy Iovine will be out there and he can do whatever he wants. I mean, he's Jimmy Iovine. So if he wants to just sit on a beach and count $100 bills, he can do that. Or if he still has a passion for the recording industry, he can do other things. Now, he won't be going to, to competing streaming music services, because it's a safe bet. There's some clause in his contract with Apple that says you can't do that.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so that's like the thing in a nutshell. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about this. So Kelly, I'll hit you up first.
Well, I'm really curious about two things. Number one,
not Tupac things, just two things.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm always a little bit curious about Tupac things, but that's a story for another day. We record that as a different podcast.
Yes.
So, the two things I'm interested in here are, what's prompting him to leave? Because if he's leaving when his shares are vested, that tells me that he's just sort of waiting it out, which doesn't seem like a Jimmy Iovine thing to do, which is sort of why I was curious about it. And the other thing I wonder is what the non-compete looks like in his contract, because while I don't expect him to walk out of Apple on Friday and walk into Spotify on Monday, I would expect that he would maybe want to do his own thing and would, I'm going to go start my own company or something like that, you know, where, or a new record label or whatever. Like if there's something that he really wants to do and go pursue now that he has all this money, then what shape could that take depending on the deal that he made with Apple? So, I'm pretty curious because he doesn't seem like a guy to sit home. Just that's my impression of what I've read about him through the years. He's not a guy to just kick back, like, you know, yes, for like a week. Like he's a man that knows how to take a vacation, but otherwise I don't think he's a person who is going to be just, you know, retired and hanging out with grandkids or whatever. Like that doesn't seem like who he is. And so I wonder what his next thing is that he's going to do, because I assume that's why he's leaving, is that there's some new thing that has got hold of his mind that he wants to pursue. And so I'm very interested in what that's going to be just by virtue of the fact that Jimmy Iovine is involved.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm very interested as well. Andrew, do you have any reactions to this?
I'm kind of disappointed to see him leaving. I mean, like Kelly was saying, he's such a big figure in the music industry, and I think he gave Apple Music a sort of legitimacy, mm-hmm. and I'm sure he was instrumental in securing deals with artists and things like that. And I'm just not sure if Eddie Q, no offense to him, can run Apple Music the same way that Jimmy did, just because he doesn't really have that same level of gravitas. So hopefully it works out.
Or yes. Rolodex. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, he doesn't have like, Jimmy's Rolodex.
That's part of what made Beats, I think that's part of what made Beats so appealing in the first place, I probably said at the time, was partly the Dr. Dre talent acquisition, but mostly the Jimmy Iovine and his Rolodex talent acquisition. Mm-hmm. Like, it was more about, I mean, I know this is a thing they say about journalists, like you're only as good as your phone numbers, but like I think in Jimmy Iovine's case that's pretty true, you know. And I think that there are a lot of deals that got made with Apple Music because Jimmy Iovine could just pull out his phone and make a couple of phone calls and be like, we will have lunch with them tomorrow, let's close this deal.
Yeah.
So we could keep talking about this, but there's more than there's other stuff I still want to talk about. So I'm going to wrap us up on that and remind people, we don't know for sure that Jimmy Iovine is leaving. This is insider information, but the timing fits because of when his shares in Apple will be fully vested. So the other thing that I want to hit today, CES. So CES is next week, and I'm going, and Dave Hamilton and John F. Braun are going with me. So we'll be spending the week just exploring all of the new announcements and the new technologies and hopefully finding really interesting things that are more than just vaporware, which there's a lot of that at CES. So I'm curious, what do you guys expect to see or would like to see come out of CES this year? And Andrew, do you mind if I put you on the spot first?
Sure. I mean, I actually haven't really read too many rumors of what could be happening at CES this year. So,
well, then what would you like to see come out? Like, or what technologies are you really interested in from CES this year?
I think they could probably do more things with the smart home, but maybe making devices that are more secure and can be easily hacked.
You know, okay, so on the smart home thing, last year what I saw was that there were a lot of companies, and it was the same thing in the health and fitness space, like wearable technologies as well. There were companies that were just making anything and throwing it out there, hoping that they'd get a foothold. But at the same time, I've seen companies that have been in this space for a while, and their products seem to be getting better focused. So there was just a lot of crap, really. And then a handful of companies that were doing some interesting things. So on the smart home side, what I'm hoping is that those companies that I saw rolling out more mature products last year, that that trend continues. We see more companies doing that, and that because of the scares that we've had to deal with over the past year, especially with security, that they're taking privacy and security into account in ways that they weren't before. So in some cases, that means just taking it into account at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully they can, you know, do things like that and make them more secure and private.
I would be totally up for that. All right, Kelly, how about you?
Well, you sort of touched on it. I think it seems like we sort of get the year of every year. So like we had the year of smart home. We had the year of Alexa. Because it showed up on everything. And I feel like this year is going to be sort of a snow leopard year for CES, where lots of stuff that people threw at the wall last year or 2 or 3 years ago is going to get refined. And so like maybe not everything, you know, maybe a lot of stuff has a home assistant aspect to it. I don't want to say her name again because I don't want to set off everybody's speakers. But, you know, maybe Echo technology shows up in different pieces of hardware, or you can integrate it, but you can also change the default password on it. You know, like some of the, you know, like security is going to be, I think, a huge thing. I hope security is a huge thing this year, because remember, this is a thing that I've been hollering about here and elsewhere for a really long time, because that was part of why that was one thing we heard about why HomeKit certification took so long, was because everybody wanted to make sure, like Apple wanted to make sure that everything that they were certifying was actually secure. And it was really hard to get to Apple standards for that. So I'm hoping that security is a thing we hear a lot about this year. And I'm hoping that, not just stuff that gets announced for CES people is what comes out this year, but things that regular folks, you know, that we can buy as gifts for other people, and that they will be usable and appreciated. And every time somebody wants to use the latest iteration of the Wemo switch or the latest iteration of a smart home speaker or whatever, that they don't have to call me to do it if I gave it to them. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm sort of hoping for this year, is that this year is the year of refinement. So whether it's a fitness tracker or a smart home device that is neat in some interesting way, or, you know, even just like Logitech has their Harmony Hub, you know, which you can use and you can boss around with a smart speaker and different things like that. Like, making that stuff a lot more usable, a lot more end user friendly, because at some point, if they take enough shots at this, they're going to come up with something that they can, that will get released to the world at large, and what the world at large, you know, and have it be something the world at large could actually use and do something with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So, one of the things that I'm going to be doing while I'm at CES
is going and paying a visit to Belkin, because they said earlier this year that they would be releasing their HomeKit compatible Wemo hub, and that it was going to be coming out later in 2017. Well, we're pretty much past that, and we haven't seen or heard anything. So I think it was like back in May when they said this, and still nothing. So so I'm curious, where is this promised HomeKit hub? Because we're in 2018 right now.
And when did I write that article about how it needed to be Apple TV?
a while ago. Yeah.
It was well before we got the fourth gen.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I believe I was referring to when we get the next Apple TV, which will be 4K.
That was so cute how you thought that.
Wasn't it adorable? Oh, me and my optimism. Sometimes it's fun to go back and read some of that stuff. But I wrote an entire article and laid out what I thought was a very reasonable case. And I feel like I did a pretty good job of that because nobody disagreed with me. People were like, wow, when you say it like that, that makes a lot of sense. So I would love that. Maybe it's time to write a new version of that where I talk about now what I want it to be now that we have actual HomeKit devices and hubs for everything. And you know what I want? I just realized what I want out of CES, having said hub. Mm-hmm. I want stuff that is hubless. I want to be able to buy light bulbs and not have to hook another thing onto my network. I want to be able to add smart outlets, you know, power sockets in some way and not have to hook another little box to my network with an Ethernet cable and stuff it in a closet and hope that my Wi-Fi is strong enough to fix it because I don't have an Eero yet. That's what I want. I want it to be so much easier to just integrate this stuff. Honestly, I feel like Wemo switches, aside from their dumb name, are the best model. They call it a switch, but it's not really a switch. It's a thing that you plug into a power outlet and then you plug your power cord for your thing that you want to control into it. That's what it is. Even though they call it a switch, it's not really a switch. I want the Wemo switch to be that thing because you plug it in and once the light lights up, you walk through the app, set it all up and you're done. And then you can control it with an Echo Base. You can control it with the lady in your phone. You can control it with the Google ones, whatever you want. You can control it with all that stuff. And I feel like that's a very dumb device as a smart home device, and it's awesome. If you have a SmartThings hub, you can use that, and you can turn it into part of one of the routines that you set up with your SmartThings hub. If you have a Vera hub, you can just hook it up to that, and it will boss it around too. And like I said, you can do it with any flavor of voice assistant you prefer, and all of these things. And I never had to get another piece of equipment and scribble down another MAC address and put it in my network map as a result of just adding the Wemo. I just popped it on my network and it was happy and it hums along and turns on and turns off when I tell it to.
All right. So the vibe that I'm picking up from both of you is that we would like to see a lot of improvements in the smart home space.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like they're possible. Like, that's the thing. I don't feel like I'm asking for a unicorn here. I feel like I'm asking for something pretty reasonable because we have other types of technology that we've invited into our homes have been able to by and large resolve this in a lot of ways. Yep. Like my phone is reasonably secure for a bunch of different reasons. You know, tvOS is reasonably secure in a variety of different ways. macOS, you know, Windows, like the fundamental level of security in these things has all been upped over now, but they've had a lot more years to work on it and refine it. And I get that, but I feel like the possibility is there. It's not a super complicated thing to do unless what you're trying to do is just push something out the door. Like if you care about the experience of using it, then it's going to be a lot better.
All right. So we are almost out of time. So I'm going to toss out a couple other things about CES before we wrap up. And the first one is, based on what I saw last year and the sort of press releases that have been coming out over the past few months, last couple months especially, I think that this year at CES, one of the things that I may see in the health and fitness section, it are products that are trending more towards medical health and fitness as opposed to the things that track how you run and stuff. So I'll be curious to see what we see in that space. So I'm hoping that we'll see things that are offering more accurate, like blood pressure and heart rate monitoring, things that give us better and more useful information about our sleep patterns. And, maybe we'll get to see some products that are starting to get into the blood glucose level in non-invasive ways. And so we'll see. So I expect that may be a thing. I'm expecting that we're going to see more companies telling us how the little robot they've made is the most important robot that we need to have in our lives. And I'm expecting that we will see more television companies explaining to us why the TV that we bought 6 months ago is total crap and has to be replaced today.
Yeah, weren't we just talking about that the other day? How LG has an 8K TV already?
Yes, and I think it's LG that has a 4K projector that will put it's like a 100-inch diagonal 4K image on your wall.
Wow!
So now, that should be at CES.
A projector that you can like use with your phone.
It's designed, from what I understand, to be your part of your home entertainment system. So instead of having a big screen TV, you have this small projector. So yeah, potentially hooked up to your phone, but also hooked up to whatever system feeds video content into your home entertainment system.
So what he's saying is, yes, with the right cable from Monoprice, you could get your phone all hooked up to this 4K projector. Right.
Or your Apple TV, or your TiVo, or your cable subscription box, whatever.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, here's the thing, because you just said sleep tracking as we were talking about refining devices and sleep tracking. And it reminded me that Apple bought Bedit, and then Bedit disappeared.
Uh-huh.
So, and I would love to know what Bedit's up to these days. I would love to know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out.
It's sad for me because the past few years at CES, I've had the opportunity to chat with the Bedit people and, like their top engineers. And it's been great because it's given me a lot of insight into how their system works in relation to other products on the market. And it makes me sad that they're gone because, Bedit has been the best system that I have found so far. But with them off the market now, I will be looking to see what options are there that can take its place because we don't know what Apple's doing with that technology yet.
Right. We have no idea what happened to it. Yeah. And that's been a sort of disappointing thing to me because I was thinking about that just the other day. So because I had just started talking to them and I was curious about they were like, we have a new version coming. And that new version turned out to be a press release. We work for Cupertino now. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Listeners, I will be at CES all next week with Dave Hamilton and John F. Braun. We will be recording all of our daily observation shows from CES throughout the week. So you'll be able to stay on top of what we're finding, what we're seeing interesting, maybe what's disappointing us. So you'll be able to follow along with our CES adventures all week long. And Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep, it's great to have both of you here. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And if you come up with something that you think sounds really interesting for me to check out at CES, let me know, because if I can fit it into my schedule, I'll make it happen for you. So you can shoot me messages on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. You can send me emails, observations@macobserver.com. And of course, I'll always be checking the show notes as well. So I will look all those places to see if there's something that I need to be checking out just for you. And thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again from CES on Monday.